Welcome back to Sources from the Sofa After Dark. I got the lights off here in the Bay Area. We got Aaron and Jason in the IE per usual. We got college football championship, conference championships, and also week 14 in the NFL and the final race in F1, which if you've seen like all like the posts, kind of breaks it down. All the different scenarios. Norris has a lot of different scenarios that go his way. Piastri, not so much. And Verstappen, just a few more. But action-packed weekend coming up. And then it's kind of chill after this. No more college football. Just like kind of bowl games and slowly seeing who gets in into the playoff.
I don't know about chill. I mean, you're going to have the drama of who gets into the playoff. You're going to get straight into the bowl games. You'll have the weekly games in the playoff. But yeah, I think drama with the Formula One. Rome, did you see my Instagram story with the F1 preview on the like out of country streaming service that did the Star Wars thing?
Oh, that was out of Australia. Yeah, it was long. I didn't finish it. No, it was out of France, right?
Yeah, it was out of France. Yeah, I was going to say Australia. No, I was like, yeah. Tremendous work. I was like, I don't know what streaming service is, but I'm willing to pay them the monthly fee just for the producers of that hype.
It was really good, man. It's really good.
It was great. The timing of like shots of Verstappen with a Darth Vader breathing, you know, the cars going with like the X-Wings and stuff like it's Star Wars, the music in the background, impeccable production work. Hyped,
it was really good
for the Abu Dhabi Grand Prix this
week.
It was
super hyped, man. Yeah, there's been a lot of stuff coming out, you know, shit talking, all that good stuff. Tensions are high. Red Bull has their new driver.
Yeah, Red Bull they're calling up their hot
Isaac.
Isaac's going to Red Bull, but Arthur Lindblad, who's basically Red Bull's Kimi Antonelli,
yeah,
is getting the call to V-Carb, and so that's a pretty big deal, too. So,
what, Yuki's down to the practice squad? Like, is that basically what it is?
He's in the bullpen,
yeah,
staying
Yuki's
warm.
He's in the bullpen. He's going to be like Valtteri Bottas and Mercedes this year, putting out, you know, quality IG material headed into the weekend, promoting Red Bull, all that good stuff.
Nice.
Time
we'll see.
To work on those frying pan commercials he was doing with Ramsey there.
I never saw that.
You didn't see it?
No.
You gotta check it out.
A frying pan commercial.
He's like cooking, and it's like for a frying pan commercial.
Huh.
For Gordon Ramsay. I seen it a couple weeks ago, maybe a month ago, but yeah.
Send us the link.
I don't think Yuki's giving up on the F1 dream right now. I think he'll be looking at 2027 on what seats can go open, similar to Bottas, and so what's going to be coming out. So.
Yeah. How early is that race?
5 a.m. Rome.
Well, I'll have to wake up for it. This is it. No choice.
I don't know. 5 a.m. for you, Rome. Is that could be a late night.
I think Rome's still up. It's like getting to his bedtime hour.
I haven't done that in a while, guys. That's so last year.
Wasn't that like 2 weeks ago? You were out till like 4 or 5, Rome. Yeah, I could have sworn.
Was that on accident? Yeah, that was on accident.
Wow.
It
happened.
That's why I don't like going out.
I guess
out,
you just have to make that decision.
I always find the party. It's like, this is ridiculous.
Anytime
like,
being up that late's an accident, Rome. As Herm Edwards say, what, nothing good happens after midnight?
Nothing really. Well, I would say after 1 o'clock. After 1 o'clock, for sure, nothing good happens. All right, so college football. Lane Kiffin's now at LSU. I don't know if we talked about it last time. No, we didn't, right? Because it just happened this past week. I don't remember
I
anymore.
We did because it happened.
Okay, never mind. I'm so sorry.
We had the recap on Sunday, right?
Everything
we
is about such it. A blur right now. Yeah, so much drama has come out of that. Whether the team wanted him to coach, he wanted to coach. That interview in the outfield, like with like the grass and everything's wild before he boards the plane. Just so like that punchable face that he has sometimes. He had that face again. It's like that old Lane Kiffin face where you just want to punch it. And you're like, this guy's full of shit. And getting flipped the bird onto the plane and then throwing a little Ed Orgeron accent right when he lands in the bayou. That must be a thing, man. As soon as you land in the Baton Rouge, a little that little southern drawl comes out.
Was that did that really happen?
It did, yeah. He's like, I'm like, I don't know why, but like I'm feeling a little Ed Orgeron, like being channeled, you know, through me. He's like, go Tigers. Like he did that during the cock.
I don't know if Orgeron's exactly like a Bayou.
Is Orgeron
going to
be on the staff? Does anybody know?
I think so.
No, I don't think so.
No,
I
don't think man.
I don't think he's got an exact accent. That's a unique one of one accent.
I just think
way
that's
of
the way
speaking.
He talks.
Ed Orgeron's it's like a frog and like a duck and like a motorcycle on one.
Yeah, I was I saw some interview with him recently because when he was on the USC staff with Pete Carroll out there, and I'd like to credit whoever was doing the interviews, but I don't remember what it was. But he was talking about like the recruit he missed out the most. And for USC, and it was Adrian Peterson.
Ah.
And he basically said like he had him like basically signed to go and he wanted to and everything was there, but Adrian Peterson's dad was in jail and you could only see where he was at in jail in Oklahoma. That's the only game they could see. They couldn't see USC out there. So Orgeron tells this story like he basically was trying to talking to like politicians and people in California to try to get his dad transferred jails out to California in order to watch the game. I was like the fact that that's like how weird college football is. It's like,
that's
yeah,
weird.
I need to get this recruit. I'm gonna pull strings to try to get someone like moving to different prisons across like the country. It was just crazy.
I could see Ed Orgeron doing that.
That's
I could see him having connections with like the wardens or whatever. Like, hey, I got this guy. I got to get over here. Come on.
Yeah. That's a good accent, Aaron. I like it. That's a really good one. Can we hear it again?
I think it's a one-off, man. I think it's a one-off.
101 right there.
Oh, my God. I'm going to clip that one for sure.
Limited fake Ed Orgeron for Aaron.
Yeah, that was good. That was good. All right, so conference championships this week. These aren't all the games. These are just the ones that you're going to be watching, Aaron?
Yeah, these are the games I think of relevancy. There was like the Sun Belt no one really cares about. I mean, the Mountain West really has no big impact, but it should be an entertaining game. The other ones all do have playoff implications.
Lots of playoff implications this weekend.
Yes.
Lots of talking. Who should be in? Who should be out? You know what? And I've heard some pretty good arguments for Texas, and I'm like, I'm buying in on that conversation. I'm sold on that. They did have a pretty tough schedule.
I don't know what message boards you're on for that, but that's some Texas algorithm in your feeds over there.
I don't know, man. I'm buying in.
I don't know that Longhorn's a lonely horn, and they ain't getting in, man.
I think it's easy to project. I think where things are at right now is like your bubble team's Notre Dame. They've already forecasted that. And so you're really just awaiting the results of the ACC championship game and the Big 12 championship game. Because Big 12 championship game, Texas Tech wins. You get BYU's then out. Notre Dame stays in. But if BYU wins, they probably supplant Notre Dame because both BYU and Texas Tech get in. And then if ACC championship game gets a winner of Duke and Rome, I think you really educated the listeners on the last Potter on that because, yeah, the Duke win of Virginia, to Aaron's point in these rankings, I mean, that gives the Tulane Texas, but also not on Aaron's games to watch, but it would give the James Madison in the Sun Belt. I know Aaron said he's not watching that game, but James Madison just taking care of business there could get into the playoff if they're going to be ranked higher than Duke ACC championship toward the end and the ACC gets shut out.
Quick question. Is the coach for James Madison coaching in the conference championship? Okay,
yes.
Good.
Yes.
Okay, cool.
All the coaches are, because obviously North Texas coach is going to Oklahoma State.
Yeah.
And you've got Tulane's coach going to Florida. So they are all are coaching this, and if they do get into the playoff, we'll be coaching in the playoff as well.
It's just Ole Miss didn't want their guy coaching.
Yes.
Cold-blooded, man. They are really pissed that he left.
I also think a lot of these other coaches were kind of honest about leaving. They weren't kind of holding him hostage for a while.
Well, whenever a coach says, like, oh, you know, I'm not going to address that right now, it's like, all right. The other writing's on the wall. If Lane would have just said, hey, LSU is my dream job, and I got to take this, but I love being at Ole Miss. This is like finally a home that I enjoyed, and I'm willing to risk that for greener pastures with that crazy fucking governor and whatever AD they got in place for that purple and yellow gold. Then okay, cool. And then if his mentor Saban talked him into it, okay, cool. But the fact that he wasn't really upfront, I think that's what kind of fucked him in the end. Just
I don't think so. I mean, I there's a point, Rome, but you're going to a rival in, you know, SEC within the conference, things
you
like
think
that.
It's more about the rival thing.
Yeah, I mean, because you're going, if you're looking at Tulane, North Texas, and James Madison, you're going from a group of five team that is not anywhere close to having the rivalry of what, like, two SEC schools on bordering states that have a history. Like, you're going to an enemy right now versus these other programs. Like, you know, they're leveling
kind of
up.
Yeah.
They're leveling up to another school. And so I think there's a little more acceptance where this one's like, hey, you're going to it. You're another big time program. And this one's a direct rival in conference. I think like, no, I don't want any business with you on there because, you know, you're absolutely gutting a program right now with everything that's, you know, potentially setting them back. And they need to move on at this point because they're going to have to rebuild.
Yeah. Valid points. Should we just get into it?
Sure. Yeah, Rome.
All right. Aaron's conference championship games of the week. Final edition, unless you're going to be doing bowl games. I don't know. Did we do that last year?
We did playoff. Really. We did playoff games, but we did not do bowl games.
No? I don't remember. I don't remember at all.
Yeah, but I remember we did do every playoff, but not
you,
bowl games.
Actually, you did pick like bowl games to watch every single week. You
I
did.
Might have thrown one or two in there.
Yeah.
Some entertaining ones. I do remember that now. But I don't think we did everyone. I know we did do every playoff game, but yeah.
Well, I'll give you a pick for the Holiday Bowl because, as you know, I go to the Holiday Bowl annually, so I'll give you my pick.
You
as
got,
I'm
you got
on
a bad
site.
Beat last year there, Jason. You got a bad beat. I remember you had a bad
real bad beat at the Holiday Bowl last year. It was things. So we'll see. You know, thankfully the game's not in Saudi Arabia like it allegedly was being pitched to be, but still in San Diego at Snapdragon Stadium, but after the new year this year, January 2nd. So
nice. All right, so we'll start off with the American Conference Championship, North Texas against Tulane. North Texas favored by 2.5. I guess real quick, though, or maybe we'll actually come back to that. I do want to recap how we did overall for the season for picks and also in the Westgate Super Contest. But Aaron, why this game?
Well, right now, Tulane is right now what the final team in right now from the group of five. Playoff. So obviously if they win this game, they're going to get an automatic playoff berth. North Texas could, you know, obviously steal that spot. You know, James Madison's still in the mix as well. North Texas only lost this year came against, I believe it was Memphis on a game we called earlier in the year. But home game here for Tulane. They're hosting this game. Surprised to see that they're underdog. I heard there's going to be some sloppy rain weather out there in New Orleans. So, you know, North Texas, one of the best freshman quarterback in the nation. We already mentioned earlier that both coaches are leaving to greener pastures here as North Texas coach is going to Oklahoma State and Tulane's coach obviously going to Florida.
Florida, yeah.
So I'm going to take the home team here, Tulane, getting points at home, 2.5. It's going to be tough to beat them there. They can run the ball well. I think, like we mentioned, it's going to be raining. Field could be a little slippery. I think that favors the run game and a better defense. Tulane has that. So I'm going to go with Tulane Green Wave here, getting points at home to secure their first ever playoff spot.
I like North Texas. They're really good. All right. Jason, any feedback on that one?
No feedback. I will be picking Tulane as well, rooting for them. They were my group of five pick to enter the playoff at the start of the year. So if they come through and get in, I don't know much, Rum, but that'd be 2 years in a row I've nailed the group of five winner.
Did you say Tulane? Who'd I pick?
We picked Memphis, Rum.
They're done.
Yeah.
But last year was Boise too. Last year was Boise State, and this year I picked Tulane. So
nice
could
money.
You could have two group of five. So James Madison, I don't know who had them. Maybe Romy might have had James Madison.
I thought you mentioned
Memphis, but we'd have to go back and look at the 4-month-old archive.
Yeah, what I say on the pod and what was written on my notepad might be different, though.
Yeah,
so.
Well, you got like 20 notepads over there, Rome.
The notepad's the official record.
Yeah. I got an official record for you, too, all somewhere. Right.
Mountain West Conference Championship, UNLV against Boise State, favored by 5 points.
Yeah, an interesting line. I mean, remember this game, UNLV played at Boise State in the regular season and was getting 11.5 points. That was one of our big plays in the Westgate, and UNLV just got blown out in that game. Their defense has gotten better over here the last month. Boise State's getting their starting quarterback back. I imagine it's going to be pretty cold up there in Boise. These teams played last year. Boise obviously won that game to get to the playoff. I'm going to take under 57.5, Rome, here. I'm going to go with the under. Cold weather. Boise State's got a pretty decent defense. Like I said, UNLV's defense has been pretty good lately. So under 57.5 in Boise State, UNLV.
I just realized I have my notepad on me. So let me just write this down real quick on the old Source on the Sofa notepad on the computer here. So you got Tulane plus 2.5, and then you got the under 57.5 for this game, right?
That's correct, Rome. That's what we're going to go with.
I was like, what's missing here? Nice. All right. The Big 12 championship, BYU against Texas Tech. Big favorites here, minus 13. That's kind of big.
It's a big number, Rome. I mean, they met earlier, probably about a month out, 5 weeks ago. It was 11-12 at Texas Tech home field. Obviously, Texas Tech was up 26-0 in that game and ended up winning 26-7. There's no bigger Texas Tech fan this weekend than our own Jason Zinke, as he will be rooting for the Red Raiders to get the job done. I like the Red Raiders to win, but I'm going to ride BYU plus 13. I think they still lose by at least a touchdown or more, but I think they'll be better prepared for this game. Quote unquote neutral site, even though it is in Arlington, Texas, there'll be some more BYU fans there. I think they keep it competitive, but Texas Tech defensively run game, I think, is too much for them. I'll take BYU plus 13, but Texas Tech to win outright.
Wow. Jason, what do you think?
Yeah, I agree with Aaron on this one. It's a tough line because it's not like a pro thing where you're saying plus 13, but BYU is a really good team. And even though, like as Aaron pointed out, Texas Tech got off that big lead their last meeting a month or so ago. Every other game, like BYU's offense, like, you know, they really put in work, you know, last week against, you know, Central Florida, putting up 41 points a couple weeks for versus TCU. Like, this team can score too, and that's why all of these Big 12 matchups turn into a shootout type thing. So I think you ride where it's going to be within, you know, within the two touchdown, you know, range. So I'd be confident from the betting side too, but I still think Texas Tech win the game.
Okay.
But Aaron's right. A little biased that I'm rooting for Texas Tech, so Notre Dame makes it. So I won't say any more than that.
SEC championship game. This is going to be good. Georgia 2.5 point favorites over Alabama.
Yeah. I mean, obviously getting to this game, Bama is a 2-loss team. Regardless, win or lose, they're probably in the playoff. They've had great success going back. Kirby Smart, I mean, the one team he's struggled against in the SEC since he's been head coach with Saban and DeBoer has been Alabama, right? Alabama went into Georgia, beat them on their home field, ending, a 35-game win streak there. Georgia did not look good last week against Georgia Tech. I think they only mustered, 200-something yards of offense against Georgia Tech defensively, who had been just bad, giving up almost 500 yards a game they had been. I heard a lot of people are on Alabama. I'm going to go Georgia here. It is in their backyard. I think Kirby's smart. These guys need to get this game. It gives whoever wins this game is likely a top four seed and gets a first round bye as well. Georgia traditionally in the SEC game against non-Bama opponents are really well. But I'm going to ride Georgia. I'm going to take the Bulldogs here minus 2.5.
Yeah, that's tough. That's tough, Jason.
Yeah, it's a tough line, and considering what that game was, you know, back early in the season, how close that was, 3-point game there. I just think Georgia is just a little bit better. I'm not like Bama. They ran that gauntlet where we didn't think they're good, but they went to that gauntlet in the middle of the season. But, you know, Georgia was convincing over Texas. If you look back at that a couple of weeks ago, Georgia Tech was no slouch to end the season, you know, in a game that was maybe closer than it should have been. 2.5 is, is I think a better line where it becomes a field goal game, like Aaron said. So I'll take Georgia as well.
Yeah. All right, ACC, Duke against Virginia. Virginia's favored by 4 points.
Yeah, this is an interesting game. I mean, Virginia, these teams just played, what, 3 weeks ago, I believe it was. Virginia won pretty big at Duke. That was after Virginia was coming off a loss. I mean, their quarterback was questionable to play. Duke was actually favored in that game by four. Obviously, if Duke wins, I don't think they're going to get in the playoff unless it's like a really blowout win. Virginia, obviously, if they do win, will be in the playoff. So that's going to be an interesting game. I mean, Jason mentioned James Madison, the reason why they're not on this one, even though they are in a conference championship game. They are basically a 23.5-point favorite against Troy this weekend. So should take care of them. But I'm going to go under 58. Again, we're going to have both these teams can score, but Virginia's better defensively. Cold weather, I think teams right now can be conservative, going to play not really to make the big mistake. I know Duke likes to throw the ball around a lot, but I think they're going to try to keep Virginia's offense off the field. And Virginia's more of a ball control. They're not really explosive. So I'm going to go under 58 in this game, Rome. Virginia, Duke, under 58.
Nice. And then the last game that you got for this week, the Big Ten Championship, Indiana against the Ohio State, favored by just 4 points.
Yeah, in Indiana's backyard there. What is this, the 1 and 2 ranked teams in the country? I'm going to go with the Buckeyes here. I think the Buckeyes get it done. I mean, Indiana, really the only team that they played of really competitive-wise was really Oregon. They took it to them. But Ohio State's just been at another level. Giving me 4, I think the line should be 7. I'll take the Buckeyes here, -4, even though this game, it'll be still probably 50-50 crowd. I mean, Ohio State travels really well.
Yeah, this is basically, this would have been the championship like years ago, the way it used to work. All right, Jason, what do you think about that one?
Yeah, I agree with Aaron on that. I mean, you look where Ohio State has just gone through the Big Ten, you know, blowing people out throughout the season. I think athlete for athlete, I think they're just going to have the slight edge. And I agree with Aaron, surprised the line's not a little bit bigger. The Indiana team, the Oregon win, I think, was the best, you know, obviously the big one on their resume where they didn't have that last year. And then, you know, they are going into Notre Dame and were, you know, kind of, you know, exposed to a little bit in the playoff. But I still think they're just a notch below that. This doesn't have like the talent when you look at Ohio State. And, you know, Ryan Day, he got his big win over Michigan. You know, now he's got the number one team in the nation. I mean, the curious thing is, like, does the loser lose the first round buy out of this? And that'll be like what I'm, you know, 1 and 2 in the nation. The loser has the first round loss. I mean, is that what they're kind of playing for at this moment? I don't know. Because, I mean, at this point, being both undefeated right now and then the loser having one loss, they still make it the first round bye.
Yeah.
So I think the biggest question going in is, like, is there like a motivational thing on this where you think, does Ohio State like let down in a moment because, there just isn't much to play for, you know, besides like first overall and what the ranking will be. But I still think Ohio State's just got the athletes, and this is going to be, you know, going to be a big game for them not having to play in the first round, unlike last year where they had to run the gauntlet. But I will talk more in the previews. Is it, you know, last year, remember, the bye teams didn't work out so well. The teams being on the bye, it was almost better to play in that first round. So it'll be curious what the second year of this looks like for these teams that potentially go first round bye.
I can't remember what the bracket looks like, but who's where's everyone seated at right now? At least, okay, so Indiana's number 2. I think if anything, yeah, like whoever loses this, they're still better than the other two teams. I think they just drop.
Yeah, I mean, if you're Indiana, even if you lose, I mean, to host a home playoff game, if that's what it ends up, would be big for them.
Yeah,
I mean, last year, obviously, they traveled to Notre Dame to start off that playoff run and it was a blowout in the first quarter, to Jason's point. But obviously, now seeding's different because Boise State got a bye last year. You don't have to worry about a Power 5 team getting or a Group of 5 team getting a bye. So we'll see how the teams do. But, I mean, obviously, hosting a home game is something that, you know, these teams dream about.
Yeah. Any final comments? On the most recent rankings, maybe playoff seeding.
I mean, I don't know about the playoff seeding. Be interesting you know, once we figure out the ACC's role in all of this too, I think there's going to be a lot of politicking. Notre Dame, I think the most interesting one. I mean, Aaron talked about that for me. I'm under personable, like, you know, I don't know if Notre Dame should be in. And the case of them versus Miami increasingly becomes interesting. And I know Miami's going to continue to talk, but like right now, like neither of these teams improve their resume during the bye week. So Miami's basically eliminated at this point, because what would the committee do to say Miami would be in over Notre Dame after they already slotted Notre Dame where they're at? So part of me thinks that they're praying for the BYU upset, because this will make it, you know, both Miami and Notre Dame are out. And then the Ole Miss factor, when you look at the bracket too, like, are they still going to be ranked sixth? Do they still get, you know, where things are at? They're still, you know, they find they could be in, but you're going to do a whole new coaching staff and things like that. I mean, I'll
they
question
can't really
some
drop
of that.
Them.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, things have changed.
Well, they could. I mean, if Bama wins, I mean, Georgia beat them, so Georgia's going to stay ahead of them regardless.
Yeah.
Yep.
So that's really the only scenario I see. Yeah.
They only got half their coaching staff left. Although Charlie Weiss is back, or whatever his name is.
That's Charlie Weiss Jr.
Yeah, there you go.
So it looks like 80% or so of their offensive staff is going to be back for at least a playoff run, it sounds like.
Yeah.
Curious to me is having Texas A&M below them when they put that ranking out. Because Texas A&M have been riding high up the entire season.
And they played a way tougher schedule than Texas Tech.
Texas A&M?
Yeah.
Well, I guess, no?
Ish.
I'd say Ole Miss had a tougher schedule. Yeah. I mean, you just want to be 5-8 because you host a home game, right?
Yeah.
So, as it is right now, Texas A&M would be hosting Notre Dame, how they have the ranking set up.
Should be a good rematch.
Yeah. Which everybody would love to see the rematch.
Dude, that'd be really good, actually. That'd be really good.
But like I said, I mean, Georgia, I mean, I think whoever wins between Georgia and Bama probably gets into that top four. Texas Tech, if they win, they'll stay. I'd be surprised if Ohio State or Indiana drops out, unless like one of them just gets beat down pretty bad, then you could see it. But
If Oregon's, if it were to stay where Texas Tech's still at number four, I think it could work out really nice for Oregon when you're looking at it too. If they get to play the 12 seed, basically,
five. Yeah.
They play the group of five conference champions. So it would be Tulane, or if it happens to be like James Madison. So it's a pretty favorable matchup there. And then they get to play Texas Tech, which, you know, Texas Tech's a good team, but you're talking about a, you know, weaker level of opponent compared to the SEC Big Ten stuff. So, I mean, Oregon could find themselves in a pretty favorable bracket region when you're looking at it. If they stay in the 5C, Texas Tech wins. I don't know if Texas Tech jumps anyone to get into the 3 or 2. It probably depends on what the SEC's like. So, I mean, that could be, you know, one of those things where we looked at, like, I forgot who it was last year, where, like, they got to – you know, played Boise State and everything like that throughout the thing. They got, you know.
Yeah, Penn State got SMU and Boise State.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, matchups make everything. So, yeah, I mean, Oregon would love to host Tulane.
100%.
I mean, even Virginia traveling all the way to Oregon.
Oh, they would love
it. I mean, that's an ass-whipping waiting to happen.
It's really nice for Oregon, actually. And then they wouldn't have to, yeah. Maybe at least in the quarterfinals. You know. I don't know about you, but if I was like an 11th seed playing Ole Miss with all that drama all around them, I would love to play them.
I think Ole Miss matches up well with BYU. If that's, you know, that's what it is right now. Obviously, stuff could change. But, yeah, we'll see. I mean, if Bama loses, if they drop down and they send Bama to Ole Miss for an SEC game, I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what the college playoff committee decides to do. But I mean, I think Bama's got to be careful, because I think they're in. But obviously, we've seen if you get blown out and if you lose your quarterback to an injury, they'll get rid of you. They'll just swipe you out.
I've heard
that'd be your argument, Rome, for your Texas team or something like that. But I still don't know how Texas jumps Miami. I think just that just turns into something different there, especially if the ACC doesn't get any representation somehow.
The problem of Texas, they have the worst loss on the resume, getting blown out by Florida. That's just a terrible loss. Their schedule's tough as hell towards the end. They've got big wins. But when you look at the other team's resume and how they got beat, manhandled by a Florida team who went 4-8, it's tough to justify when you got more losses and that loss on your schedule getting in.
To be fair, Florida was just on the brink of being ranked at that time too. So, all right. I'm excited then for this Saturday. We'll get some answers. It says December 2nd. Oh, that's just when it came out. Got it.
I think, what, December 7th, the final poll release?
Yeah, next Tuesday. All right, real quick, let's recap, like, in less than like 3 minutes or so. How do we finish the season all together, Aaron, for games of the week? What's the record?
Rome, the record was really good. Then it got a little shaky, but we did finish above 500.
Gosh, man. Okay, what's the record?
So we finished just 81 wins, 80 losses, 3 pushes.
Oh, dude, we did tank at the end.
We did.
Were we like 15, 20 games up?
We brought like a dozen.
Oh, man.
Caught me by surprise.
All right, 81 and 80 and 3.
Yeah.
Okay. That's not bad.
I'll just say just the balance between college and pro. You know, we started college hot with Aaron and even us in our circa picks. And as we got better on the pro side, we got way worse on the college side.
Yeah, I think, you know, we started to be like, try to focus, like, damn, we're just getting our ass kicked in the NFL. We better start focusing in over there. Really, Rome, it was this last week. We went 3-9 this last week. But we were basically at that point almost 9 games over 500 going in.
Well, yeah, I didn't like some of those from last week. 3-9, yeah. And then Westgate, what was our final record there?
Basically the same. About one game we finished, I want to say, well, they rank it off points.
Yeah, how many points did we finish?
49 points.
What place did we get?
Like 400th.
So we finished, how many?
Well, we finished in the top half, almost 1,100.
Okay.
I mean, we were at one point, I think I text you guys, weren't we like in
3%.
The, yeah, we were up there, and then like Jason said, those started to tank, and then the NFL started to get better.
So. Yeah. Yeah. I've had those 2 bad weeks in the NFL. You take that away, my record's really fucking good right now.
Well, we had towards the last 5 weeks in the Westgate College one, we finished 1-6 in 2 of the last 5 weeks. So that's, if you rough. Take those away, and if we had stayed on pace, on what we were typically doing, we would have easily finished in the top 100.
Yeah.
Probably like 3 or 4 games out of the money.
Probably.
If we had stayed on pace like we were after like 8 weeks, 9 weeks, but
better luck next year.
There's always next year.
I'm feeling good about next year.
I'm already hyped. That's why I take the off season to regroup, and then boom, once that August trip comes on, I'm redialed in, man.
As I was telling you, or maybe I told both of you guys, I'm still like tripping up over like the points, you know, against the spread. Something like picking the team, not thinking about the spread completely. So I'm still wrapping my mind around it. But I'm excited to do it again next year. I think it was pretty fun. And yeah. Dude, honestly, like all the other professionals, you know, the experts, they started like 20 games under 500 while we were like heating it up. So kind of equals out. And they're still under 500. So that's pretty good. 81-80. I think we beat Joel Klatt. I think we beat the Bear on Fox. Oh, we beat some pretty big guys.
To be fair, Rome, I mean, the these are games that are games to watch when we give a side. These aren't necessarily all games I would bet,
right,
or pick,
yeah,
personally.
Yeah. 100%, so, yeah.
Basically, like last week we had, you know, Iowa versus Nebraska. I wouldn't touch that game as a better. I was on Nebraska. Jason threw an Iowa late there. And Iowa, you know, won big. I mean, speaking about Nebraska, what is going on in Nebraska?
I don't know, man. People are decommitting. I mean,
what about Penn State 2 signed recruits?
Well, Penn State yesterday? Can't find a coach. They can't even find a coach.
No one wants a coach there. It looks like I saw a couple hours ago they're going after Matt Campbell at Iowa State.
Yeah, I saw that.
Hmm. Interesting.
That's one of those things where the I think the program and fans overestimate what the status of your program.
Yeah, dude. I just
Should they have gotten rid of James Franklin?
No, man.
I mean, he did a great job closing out a recruiting class at Virginia Tech in the top 25.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, this is where the thing, like, when you're dealing with, you want to be happier than happy a lot of times, and I know the expectations, everyone wins a national title, but, you know, this is Penn State's, was their worst season in a while, okay, it was bad where it was at, it was always questionable because he couldn't win big games, but okay, great, now you can't lure any of these coaches to come to you.
Yeah, no, they fucked up royally.
Not only that, all the coaches they want then end up getting a great contract extension where they're at.
Well, that's the best part of like college football. I'd say the best part, just hilarious part, is like all your agent is just working the phones. Like, yeah, he's interested. All right, well, unless he gets a raise, and then okay, all these guys are just like, okay, now just get a massive raise every time they're interested in there. And it's probably Jimmy Sexton just playing these colleges against each other.
Dude, man, people have been on Jimmy Sexton this week on X and on Threads.
What does Jimmy Sexton look like? I haven't seen a photo of this guy. I haven't looked him up. Does anybody know what he looks like?
I just
think of like Better Call Saul. I think that's him. Like that's Jimmy Sexton. Like, hey. Oh wait, he's got like 12 phones. Like, oh wait, Penn State's calling. Hold up. Yeah. Oh yeah, we're interested. Call me back.
Maybe they'll do like a TV show like Entourage, but based on this guy.
I mean, we
that's
talked
a great
about
idea,
it,
Rome.
We talked about it for the Bama thing. We're just like, it was just like, hey, all of his clients were in the running for the Bama job, and then he got him raises at every other school that whoever didn't get the job. Your guy, that's Norvell, crazy, and everybody else.
All right, that'll do it for the college picks. We're going to cover NFL shortly after this on YouTube. It'll be broken up in different videos, so check it out. I think it's going to be all in one episode on Apple Podcasts, which we saw a big bump last week, and then Spotify. So we'll be back.